ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
To the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 117 of the report. And we're gonna rock out a little bit more to this Anderson Paak, man. Real talk.
So precious is yours, is mine, only one at a time. My life, my life.
Yeah, man. What's going on with you? This is episode 117 of the report, man. And it's been a couple weeks. It's been a couple weeks since I've been on the mic. And I got a lot of shit to talk about, man. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. But before I get into any of that, I got to explain myself. And I hate having to do so, but I do, right? I didn't have a show out last week. And part of the reason why I did not have a show out last week was because a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, lost his mom. I want to send a shout out to my boy Al and his family, man. He lost his mother it was early last week. And, you know, the funeral services and everything were last Saturday. And, you know, I was there. You know, I was trying to be there for a friend. And so in the mix of that, you know, the Span Report took a back seat to that. You know what I mean? I know what it's like to lose a mom. You know what I mean? So my prayers are with him and his family, man. I knew his mom. I actually used to be like a neighbor with his mom. Like when I first moved back to Detroit, his mom stayed in the unit below mine. And yeah, man, Nadine was a really good woman, man. Like she'd tell it like it was, like real talk. Like Nadine was a funny character. She was a blunt character, but she was real all the time. And so, you know, I would like to dedicate this show to the memory of Nadine Jenkins. Real talk, man. She was a really good person, and I hate to see her go. And as a friend to my friend, man, I just felt like it was important that I be there for that. And the Span Report had to take a back seat for a week, man. So my apologies to you guys, but at the same time, man, my friends take precedent over this. Real talk. But It's a lot of stuff that's going on, man. We got the, you know, what was going on in England with the Brexit vote. We had the BET Awards pop off. We've had the NBA Finals come to a conclusion, man. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I got some random thoughts that I want to get into. And also, man, I got some more unpopular black opinions that I want to express to you guys, man. I think a lot of y'all may feel like I done lost my mind, but fuck it, right? That's why they're unpopular opinions, right? So, yeah, we're going to get into that. But before I do, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages, and of course, I will play those messages here on the show, and I'll respond here on the show as well. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. I'll read those emails here on the show and, of course, respond to you here as well. You can also chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So we can chop it up throughout the week and talk about whatever it else, you know, whatever it is you guys want to talk about. We can do that there. Also, subscribe to the show on Stitcher and iTunes and on Google Play Music. You can subscribe to the show on Google Play. Leave me a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher. It really helps the show grow, and I very much appreciate it, right? If you go ahead and leave those 5-star reviews, let the people know exactly what it is that you're thinking about this Span Report podcast, and the 5-star reviews will get read here on the show. Shout out to Rod and Karen over at the Black Guy Who Tips for that shit, right? Also, man, you can watch the show live on Facebook now, right? So before, I was doing it on Google Hangouts, and then I was doing it on Spreecast. The show has moved to Facebook Live. So you can go to Facebook Live. You can go to Facebook and go and like the Mr. Span fan page. Like that fan page, and when I go live, you'll get notified on your phone, wherever you are, as to what's going on with the Span Report. He's about to go live. You can watch the show wherever the fuck it is you at, right? Go ahead, like this fan page. Be alerted when the show goes live so you don't miss a beat, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com. You can go there and watch the videos or the audio that I use on the show. You can check out every episode of the Span Report podcast, all the way down to episode 1, is available at thespanreport.com. You can vote in the polls. You can write comments on the episodes. And you can let me know whatever it is you want to know or whatever it is you think about the show right there as well. And for those of you who are generous, you can also donate to the Span Report podcast. And, you know, help keep this ball rolling, man, because it costs money to produce these shows, real talk. And I've been doing it for quite some time. But, yeah, man, you know, if you feel like you want to put in on the Span Report and continue this and let this ball keep rolling and, you know, help me and producing more content, then by all means, man, you can go to thespanreport.com, hit that donate tab on there and give whatever you want, how often you want. Right. So, yeah, man, that's what it is. That is what it is. But let's get into some of this stuff, man. Let's get into some of the stuff that I want to talk about with you guys this week, right? So I had some random thoughts that kind of hit me earlier in the week, man. And, you know, of course, they're random, so, like, there's no rhyme or reason behind them. But one of the things I was thinking about, man, was you guys ever watch, like, the Food Network or something like that? Or, say, for instance, a show like, what's that Guy Fieri show, like Drive-Ins and Dives, I forget, it's like 3Ds or something, right? He calls it the 3D show, right? And one of the things that I was thinking about, man, was that I would love to see a food critic show where they are, like, completely honest about the bullshit that they're eating at that particular moment in time, right? So, like, when you watch a show like Guy Fieri's show, and he's like, he'll eat like a tater tot, and he's like, yeah, man, like, you could taste the paprika, and, like, the texture is all, like, in one big old boom, and all this other shit, right? It's like, okay. Like, I would love for him to, like, even just have, like, an outtake show where he's like, yo, this shit is horrible. What the fuck are you doing with this, right? like when you decided that you wanted to put mustard on this catfish, like, what was your thinking behind this? Like, what were you thinking about when you decided that this would be a good idea for you to go ahead and execute for this restaurant, right? I would love to see a show like that. Now, my wife was telling me that Gordon Ramsay does a show like that, but a lot of times those shows are usually generated around the fact that they're trying to rehabilitate restaurants or they're trying to fix restaurants and stuff like that. No, I want a show where, like, the food critic goes into a restaurant and he's not trying to fix anything. He's just going in there, testing the food out, and then boom, like, it's some nasty shit, and he says so. as opposed to the choreographed shit that we get, man. I was sitting up thinking about that. I'm like, yo, no, maybe I, maybe I should do that show, right? Maybe I should just start going around show like restaurants in Detroit and start talking about all these, like all these, like some of the ways in which, the ways in which some of these restaurants are kind of doing some shit that I don't necessarily like, right? Maybe I should be the one to do that because nobody seems to want to do that, right? But yeah, that was one of the things that I was thinking about over the course of the week, right? Another thing that I was thinking about was Facebook attention seekers, right? Now, we all know a Facebook attention seeker. We all know one. And normally they will start off, they'll have like a post that says something like, you know, it's a copy and paste post, and it says something like, well, I'm posting this to see who's paying attention to what I post, and whoever copy or whoever likes or comments on this post will be saved. Those who don't like or comment on this post, I will unfriend you because you don't pay attention to what I post on here anyway. And I'm just sitting up here thinking about, like, and I've seen this happen so often lately. And I'm thinking to myself, like, aren't you like 35? Like, really, like, aren't you too old for this shit? Like, this is some stuff that I see like 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds posting. And it's something that you would normally associate with maybe a teenager or someone in their early 20s posting, because they really have to have that that social acclimation and that social affirmation about what it is that they're doing with their social media and everything else. Like, to see older folks, like someone my age and older, doing that sort of shit is like, God damn, that's like it's such a pathetic cry for attention that you would say that you would like unfriend all these people who don't post or like or whatever the fuck it is on this particular post. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm like one of those petty people, and I don't want to necessarily like trumpet being petty, but I'm one of those folks who just be like, all right, man, it was good knowing you. Like, because I don't care that much, man. Like, I don't care that much that you think that what you post on social media, that I have to pay attention to every little bitty thing that you post in order for me to be your friend. Because your friend will tell you that, yo, man, that's some bullshit. You should probably take that down. Come on, man. Stop being such a goddamn wuss about it. Like, come on. Like, your friend will tell you that. Your friends aren't necessarily the ones who tell you what you want to hear all the time. Your friends are sometimes the people who tell you, hey, man, you fucking up right now. Those are your friends. Your friends will sometimes tell you when you fucking up. And, yeah, man, so that was like one of those things. Man, I saw that earlier this week from somebody I went to high school with, and I'm like, God damn, that's pathetic. God damn, that's pathetic. So, yeah, that happened, right? That happened. And it was something that I was thinking about, right? So, another thing that happened over the course of the last couple of weeks since the last time I talked to you guys was the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA Finals, right? And, yeah, it kind of was what I was hoping for, right? Because I can remember, because I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, as a matter of fact, let's not get it twisted. I am a Chicago Bulls fan, right? And I've been a Chicago Bulls fan for years, practically all my life. I'm from Chicago. What do you want from me, right? So, the fact that the Golden State Warriors had beaten my Chicago Bulls all-time season wins record was a bit off-putting for me, right? It was a little bit off-putting for me. I was like, yo, I like the Warriors. Let's not get it twisted, too. I do like the Warriors. I like their team. I like many of the players on their team. Scratch Draymond Green, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But I like the Warriors. I like their team. I did not appreciate the beating of that record, right? So I was rooting against the Warriors to win the championship because the Bulls completed not only winning the most games in the season, and they had set a record for their time, but they also completed that with a championship. And so I can remember right here on this podcast saying those exact same things. It was, or better yet, just expressing that exact same sentiment. Check this out. Uh-oh. Let's go ahead and... All right, let's do that again. That team itself is like, it's an efficient team. Very efficient team. And I like the Warriors, right? But I'm rooting against them on this championship shit, right? I'm rooting against them because, you know, the 95-96 Chicago Bulls still have some semblance of being recognized as the greatest team ever because they had the all-time winning record for regular season, but they also finished that off with a world championship. We won a championship that year. So if the Warriors somehow do not win the championship this year, I could take some solace in knowing that the Bulls were that the Bulls will be still considered one of the greatest teams ever, if not the greatest team ever, because they finished it off with a championship win. And yeah, man, yeah, I'm being that salty Bulls fan. All right, now I said that about 4 or 5 weeks ago, right? I'm happy in the fact that the Cavaliers were able to beat the Golden State Warriors in that finals, simply because I want my Bulls to hold their place as the greatest team of all time, right? I'll be petty like that, right? So that happened. But I wasn't rooting as hard against the Warriors until the co-signing of Nutgate, right? When I started seeing so many people co-signing Draymond Green hitting LeBron James in the dick. When I started seeing that, it's like, yo, how far have we gone to where, like, nut checking the nigga is cool? Like, that's hot in the streets. Like, that's what we doing now. Like, we are actively making excuses for some dude on a basketball court to hit another dude on a basketball court in the nuts. When did that become the thing, right? And so when that started happening, and then you start hearing the things about, well, these NBA finals are rigged because they suspended Draymond Green, nobody gets suspended for the finals and all this other stuff, forgetting the fact that Draymond Green had accumulated all these points during the playoffs for his flagrants and hitting other motherfuckers in the nuts too. Then I was like, you know what? I really want to see LeBron James go ahead and complete this, win this championship, and everybody's fucking head explodes. I really want to see that. And by God damn it, it happened. Now, I don't give a fuck about Cleveland, right? Like, congratulations, Cleveland. I got friends in Cleveland and shit, so let's not get this twisted. But I don't care so much about the Cleveland Cavaliers suffering for 50 years before they won a championship. I don't give a damn about any of that. I just really wanted the Cleveland Cavaliers to win that championship in order to stop the Warriors from not only beating my Bulls, you know, claim to the greatest team of all time, but because I'm not about the business of co-signing nut checkers, dog. I'm just not. A lot of y'all was co-signing that shit, and I was just like, oh, man, I was looking at a whole lot of people different. Like, man, what's wrong with you? Ooh, what's wrong with you? Right? So that happened, man. And so, like, one of the things that needs to be recognized when it comes to LeBron James, man, because this is a debate that's been going on almost for the better part of his career. LeBron James right now is the greatest player of his generation, bar none, right? The greatest player of his generation. It is without question that LeBron James is the greatest player of his generation. You think about the fact that he went to a team that was barely making it, and he made them championship contenders almost instantly, right? We haven't seen a player like that since Michael Jordan. We haven't. To go to a team and instantly make them championship contenders. He can go to pretty much damn near any team in the league. Damn near. I'm not going to say all of them, but he can go to damn near any team in the league and instantly make them championship contenders because of the caliber of player that he is. You think about the fact that this dude led that team, or he led the entire, all of the players in the NBA Finals in scoring, rebounding, block shots, steals. Like, all of the major categories, statistical categories, he led all players in that. He brought his team back from a 3-1 deficit. Now, as a Michael Jordan fan, I'm like, yo, you know, we never went down 3-1 to anybody in the finals, but I can recognize the greatness in having to do and doing something that no one has ever done. And then on top of that, bringing a city a championship when they haven't had one in over 50 years. Like, I can acknowledge the greatness in that. And so, like, when I get into arguments with some of my boys about whether or not Kobe was better than LeBron, or whether or not, you know, like, you'll start seeing niggas start talking about how Kyrie was, he should have got, you know, finals MVP, that kind of bullshit. Like, come on, bro. Like, niggas still hate LeBron. I don't necessarily hate LeBron. The only time I think I was upset with LeBron was when he decided he wasn't going to come to Chicago. right? When he decided he wasn't going to go to the Bulls and he was going to go to Miami, I felt a little salty about that. And I was salty with Dwayne Wade because I felt like he kind of, you know, finagled a little shit, acted like he was coming back home to Chicago and then didn't. You know, I felt there was a lot of shadiness around that. But the fact that that dude went home and then brought a championship back to, like, his home area, man, I can't do nothing but respect that. Whether I care about it a whole lot is something entirely different. But I thank LeBron for saving my Chicago Bulls' place as the greatest team of all time. And another thing, too, I still believe that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life, period. That kid is bananas with a ball in his hand, right? Like, he can get his own shot from practically anywhere on the floor. He didn't necessarily play as disciplined as he should have in these NBA finals, and it showed. He got a little bit too cocky. But Steph Curry is one of the greatest shooters I've ever seen in my life, and he's going to be up there. Like, I do believe that the Golden State Warriors will be a contender for some years to come with the way that team is structured, right? And, yeah, man. Yeah, like, it's funny. It was funny to me to see so many people rooting against LeBron when everybody was Heat fans, and it was Heat Nation not even a couple years ago, and now we're looking at Dub Nation. And, you know, I wonder how soon those bandwagons are going to start, you know, losing folks. Right? I wonder how many of y'all going to just, like, jump ship and go to the next hottest team, man. But even though it's been damn near 20 years since my Bulls have been relevant, and Bill Clinton was still president, and gas was like a dollar, and I was still in high school, and you were cool if you had a pager, and it wasn't Netflix and chill, it was Blockbuster and chill, I'm still a Bulls fan, right? And even with the Derrick Rose trade, I know a lot of my people in Chicago are pissed about Derrick Rose being traded, and our team had peaked, man. The way that team had been built, it had peaked. It was time to move on. It was time to move on. So if we can kind of flip this into somehow getting some free agents to start coming to Chicago, then by all means, man, I'm all for it. But the way that, like, we can't depend on Derrick Rose, as much as he's a hometown kid and as much as we love him, it wasn't going anywhere with the way that team was structured, man. So they had to make some moves. And so I know with my Chicago people, I know y'all upset, but we got to get over that shit, man. Go and try to you know, get to a place where we are championship contenders again, because right now we ain't. Let's just put that out there. We ain't, right? So that's it with the NBA analysis, right? All right. And so now it's time for me to get into my unpopular black opinions. Christmas, nigga, what you gonna do when a nigga come for you? What you gonna do when a nigga got on you? I gotta say, I think that shit was dope as hell. All right. Now, when it comes to these unpopular black opinions, these are mine and mine alone. I do not speak for anyone else. This is just something that I think about sometimes, and these are my opinions. Now, I understand that these are unpopular, which means I don't expect any of y'all to agree with me on these things. It's just things that I think about, right? So, my first unpopular black opinion is lemon pepper is so fucking overrated. So y'all done, right? Right? So here's the thing, right? I love fried chicken. I love fried fish, right? Now, I got a confession to make to y'all. When I was a kid, I wouldn't eat either one. I wouldn't eat fried chicken. I wouldn't eat fried fish. When I was a kid, fried chicken, I used to see it cooked, and you could see the blood kind of crusting over, and shit kind of, like, fucked me up when I was a kid. I didn't like that. And then, like the veins and shit, when you would bite into your chicken wings or whatever, and you could see the veins, I didn't like that shit. And, like, I used to have uncles or whatever, and they used to, like, just bite into it. They used to take the whole wing and then just pull out bones. I wasn't about that life like that, right? It took a while for me to get into eating fried chicken. I'm going to just be real honest with y'all. If it wasn't in the nugget, I wasn't fucking with it. That's just what it was. Excuse me, but I've grown into it, right? I love fried chicken. I have even gotten over the fact that, yo, I know I'm eating veins and shit when I'm eating fried chicken, right? Same thing with, like, fish. I love catfish. I love perch. But Like, there was this thing where, like, the bones and shit, right? Like, the bones used to be a real problem for your boy when he was a kid. So I wouldn't eat fish because it was the bones thing. And my mama wouldn't, like, debone a lot of the shit for me because, you know, she wanted to eat her own shit. She didn't have time for that. So when I was a kid, I wouldn't eat fish. But now I fuck it up, right? Catfish, perch, what is it? It's another one. And I'm forgetting it. But whatever, right? Either way. Like, if you in an inner city, like if you're in Detroit or if you're in Chicago or whatever, you know, inner city you're in, there's a lot of fish and chicken joints, right? We got Fresh Fish House here in Detroit, you know, and there's some other places. You got Captain J's here in Detroit. I know in Chicago there's Dolphins and a couple other places, J&J's Fish in Chicago. So it's a couple other places like that. Harold's, which is the bomb. I love them. Every time I go home to Chicago, I make sure I get some Harold's before I leave home, right? Love them, right? But this phenomenon of the lemon pepper started, like, popping up. And a lot of these fish and chicken joints have gotten so heavy-handed with the lemon pepper seasoning over the top of their fried food that it's gotten to a point where it's overpowering the taste of the food. Like, real talk, you got to ask these motherfuckers to not put the lemon pepper on your shit, or you got to tell them light lemon pepper, because if you don't, they going to over lemon pepper your shit. And I don't like that. And it's a lot of people who really love lemon pepper on their food now. Like, it's just like the thing. Like, I remember Rick Ross, he bought like a Wingstop or some shit, or a few Wingstops, and he was talking about lemon pepper, and now everybody lemon pepper in every fucking thing. And I'm like, I would much rather not have this all this lemon pepper on my shit. I mean, like, a really good seasoning, some salt and pepper, and some hot sauce. Whether it's Texas Pete or Louisiana or Red Hot, I'm cool with all three of those, right? But the lemon pepper shit, kind of overrated, right? Kind of overrated. I know I might be alone in this, but that's just how I feel, right? That's my unpopular black opinion. But that's not the only unpopular black opinion I got. Another one is, Hennessy is kind of whack. So I'm going to let y'all finish, right? Now, the whole thing with Hennessy. I remember drinking Hennessy when I was young, right? Like, when I was just starting out my whole drinking career, when I didn't know any better, when I thought the only thing to drink was Hennessy, because that's all my uncles drank, was either Hennessy or Remy Martin. As Cat Williams used to say, he would drink Hennessy, Remy as a backup, right? And then I remember going to college, and then I started experimenting a little bit, and that's when I found out that I didn't really like the taste of all beers. Like, if you buy natural ice, I would probably spit in your face, because natural ice is some disgusting ass beer, and nobody should ever drink that. That is a fucking punishment. I'm sorry. But getting back to the whole thing with Hennessy. Hennessy tastes like, Hennessy tastes like old chicken grease, right? Hennessy tastes like old chicken grease that you get a buzz off of. Like, it's like you swirl it around, you know, in your little goblet or whatever the fuck, you know. Sometimes you might have a little tumbler or whatever, and niggas will be drinking on it. And sometimes they'll pour a little Coke in it, and they thinking they the shit, you know what I'm saying? They're like, Remy Martin, I'm a Hennessy VSOP, baby, you know what I'm saying? Or Hennessy Privilege, you know? Like, niggas be thinking they talking some real shit, and they be like, man, that shit is disgusting, dude. That shit is disgusting. Now, mind you, I remember my first major breakup, man, like, the first girl that ever, like, broke my heart and shit, my aunt took me into the basement, right? And it was, like, a fifth of Hennessy, and she was, she had me drinking that shit. And, like, I remember I was getting fucked up, and I'm like, is my tongue supposed to feel like this? Right? So I remember drinking that shit, but only because this was what everybody else older than me was drinking. I thought this is what I was supposed to drink on, because this is what my uncles was drinking on. And it wasn't until I got older that I started experimenting with some other shit. Like, I started drinking Belvedere, and I was like, yo, Belvedere is pretty goddamn smooth. And then Ciroc was even smoother than that. I started venturing off and figuring out what it was that I liked. And I've settled on Grand Marnier when it comes to whatever, like, hard liquor or whatever. I really like Grand Marnier. Like, that is my shit. So, you know, I know it's not exactly the most popular thing to say in black spaces that Hennessy is kind of whack, but to me, to your boy, Hennessy is kind of whack, man. I drink a little bit different than a lot of, you know, a lot of my uncles, man. I have my own palate. I've developed a taste for something other than that Hennessy shit. But to me, Hennessy is kind of whack, and I know that's an unpopular black opinion. But I got another unpopular black opinion. I don't have any problems with sitting in front of white folks enjoying watermelon and fried chicken. Check this out, man. And here's a conspiracy theory that I've been thinking about, right? I think the reason that white folks tried to shame us away from fried chicken and watermelon is because they know that shit is delicious. They know that shit is delicious. Why are we going to deny ourselves the deliciousness that is watermelon and chicken because white folks is around? Come on, bruh. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Why would we, like, keep ourselves from some shit that we love, right? So when I eat watermelon and chicken, I don't give a fuck about white people being around or none of that, right? They enjoying this shit the same way that I'm enjoying this shit. And whether or not they want to feed into some stereotypes or whatever the fuck it is, I don't give a fuck because I like watermelon and chicken. And they also like watermelon and chicken. So because of the fact that I think this is a conspiracy, a fucking conspiracy, that they're trying to keep us away from the watermelon and chicken, that's all the more reason for me to enjoy this watermelon and chicken in their face in all its glory, because the shit is delicious. And I refuse, I said refuse, I refuse to not enjoy the deliciousness that is watermelon and chicken in front of white folks, right? Now, one more. I got one more unpopular black opinion, right? Now, I know this is going to fuck y'all up. I think that designer is this generation's D'Angelo. So check this out, right? We going to act like we haven't been listening to D'Angelo for at least the last decade or so, and we haven't understood a motherfucking thing that D'Angelo been saying for the last couple years. I mean, as a matter of fact, we ain't understood shit D'Angelo done said since How Does It Feel? Like, real talk. Like, for all the shit that we give these kids about the music that they listen to and the fact that Designer done came out and he's hot in the streets right now and can't nobody understand the goddamn thing that he's saying or none of that, we listen to D'Angelo and don't understand shit that nigga be saying, right? Not only that, D'Angelo came out with an album, I want to say a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and everybody deemed that fucking album a classic. I had one of my favorite podcasters, my man Phenom Black over at Where's My 40 Acres, man. And my man flat out told me, he was like, yo, you listening to D'Angelo wrong, bro. Like, like, you listening wrong. Because I'm like, yo, I appreciate lyrical ability. I appreciate being able to hear what's going on and what's being expressed and stuff like that. And I get it. D'Angelo is an amazing musician, and the instrumentation on that last D'Angelo album was amazing. I get all of that. The same thing with Designer, right? Like, people like that Panda song. People love that Panda song. So much so that, like, I didn't even, like, here's the thing. I didn't even know Designer was the, I didn't even know he was the creator of that shit, right? The first time I heard it was on the Kanye joint. Like, he did the Life of Pablo. Like, I first heard it on his shit. I thought it was Kanye's, right? I thought it was Kanye's, and it was like, Designer. I'm like, who the fuck is Designer? I thought it was Kanye's shit. So, Designer was able to produce this shit, and it was hot, and it's been banging in the streets all fucking year, pretty much, right? Ever since. And so I'm looking at it like, yo, like, we can't understand the goddamn thing he's saying. D'Angelo, we ain't understood shit he been saying. We like shit, well, we can't understand what motherfuckers are saying. Like, even Rihanna. Like, Rihanna, a lot of folks, they like Work. Like, Work be banging. Work is on the radio all the time. We don't understand shit that Rihanna is saying, right? Nothing, right? So for me, I'm like, you know what? Designer is the Designer is this generation's version of D'Angelo, right? And so what I want y'all to, like, kind of take heed. I want y'all to take heed to this message. I really do want y'all to take heed to this message. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play that Designer Timmy Turner freestyle, and then I'm going to play some D'Angelo shit, and y'all going to get exactly what the fuck it is that I mean when I say that Designer is this D'Angelo, is this generation's, I'm sorry, this generation's D'Angelo. Hold on, give me a second. Just a second. Let me pull this up. And I'm gonna need my computer to be a little bit faster with this. Come on. Oh shit. Come on, man. I hate when this happens. Let's go ahead and refresh that. Kind of fucking up my momentum here, man. Jesus Christ, come on, man. And I don't want that to auto start. I hate when this shit's auto start. All right, so here we go. Wait, that's not it. Okay, so here we go. Just a second, we're gonna listen to Designer. Whoops. As soon as this shit loads up, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. There we go.
Tim, people wishing for a burner. Kill everybody walking. You know that it's on the furnace for bitch to beat it. How they want you fucking no beat it. Riding for Wally. Kill everybody walking. You know that it's on the furnace. Tim, turn it. People wishing for a burner. To kill everybody walking, you know that it's on the furnace for bitch to beat it. How you walking, she fucking no beat it, wild for wild. Kill everybody walking, know that it's on the furnace.
All right, so there it is, right? Let's go back into where we supposed to be at. All right, so there it is, right? Timmy Turner, right? So we didn't understand a goddamn thing that he just said in that song. Not nothing, right? So let me go ahead. I'm going to pull up some of D'Angelo's recent shit. Hold on. Uh-oh. All right. It's going to pull up some of his more recent stuff. We're going to play... What's this? This is 1,000 Deaths off of... The Black Messiah album.
With Jesus, when I say Jesus, I'm not talking about some blonde haired, blue eyed, pale skin, but a bit of complexion, cracker Christ. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible with hair like lamb's wool. I'm talking about that good hair. I'm talking about that nasty hair.
Now, right now, D'Angelo ain't said nothing. Just wait till he starts singing. All right, y'all get the point, right? You get the point. D'Angelo ain't said shit, nothing that we can understand, right? So my unpopular black opinion is that D'Angelo is, wait, no. Designer is this generation's D'Angelo, right? So yeah, I know y'all think I'm tripping. I know y'all think I done lost my goddamn mind. But yeah, man, it kind of is what it is, man. Like, I understand, like, a lot of the shit that's being made now when it comes to hip-hop and stuff like that isn't necessarily aimed at me. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm getting a little bit older. Some of the shit that these kids are talking about doesn't necessarily relate to me. It is what it is, right? Like, I'm 36. Like, shit is different for me from when I was when it was, like, 1997 and I was 17. Like, it's different. The fact, it just is, man. We're becoming our parents and our uncles and our grandparents and shit when we start talking shit about these kids' music. So, yeah, I just want to, I wanted to put that out there, right? So, yeah, those are my my unpopular black opinions, man, real talk. But, you know, there's some other things that I kind of wanted to speak to, man. And these also, they're kind of, you know, some things of substance, so to speak. There are some things that, you know, they kind of make you think about the world and, you know, and the things that are going on around you, right? And so last week we got word that the British people of the United Kingdom had voted to exit the European Union, right, under a referendum for Brexit, I believe it's called, Brexit. And they were leaving the European Union, and a lot had been made about it, man. Like, it was so much shit was going wrong. Like, the stock markets around the world were crashing and shit. Like, you know, I got notice around, you know, about my 401k, about the volatile markets, you know, the stock markets and stuff like that being volatile, and not to try to do anything in regards to my 401k and whatnot. And you know, I've seen people start talking about, like, yo, now is the time to buy a home because the stock market is so low and all this other shit, right? So I've seen a lot of that stuff, man. But one of the things that was really interesting to me was the fact that, like, when news got out about Brexit actually passing and that the British people actually voted to leave the European Union, some of the rhetoric that was surrounding the campaign to leave the European Union, right? Because a lot of it is very familiar to what we deal with here right now with a candidate by the name of Donald Trump and how he has tapped into a segment of the population who is very isolationist, who is very xenophobic, who is very homophobic, who is very Islamophobic. We've seen a lot of that exhibit itself over here. And so when you see the British people vote on a referendum to, like, kind of close off their borders from other European countries, to stop the free movement of citizens from other European countries from moving into the country to, you know, for jobs and things of that nature, and not even just jobs, but just, like, tourism and things like that, and, you know, the total divorcing of their currency from the European Union and things like that. It's like, it's kind of disheartening when you see the reasons why they're doing it. And a lot of it is because of, you know, a lot of the Islamophobic, xenophobic, you know, attitudes that a lot of people were exhibiting. And not only that, it was also a bit strange to watch, you know, people talk about how they were trying to take their country back. Right, it's really that whole notion of taking your country back, and it's ironic to listen to European, or better yet, to listen to British folks talk about taking their country back when the British monarchy and the British people have colonized most of the Western world. Right, it's so ironic to hear them talk about they want their country back. Right, they don't want all these foreigners, they don't want all these other people in their borders and taking their jobs and things like that. And it sounds a lot like Donald Trump, because Donald Trump talks about building a wall and these Mexicans are taking these jobs. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about Mexicans taking jobs from Americans that we wouldn't that would normally go to us, or that we need to bar Muslims from ever coming to this country because, you know, of terrorism and things like that. And so it's the similarities are scary to see how these things are coming together, right? And so you know, one of the things that, you know, that was interesting to me, one of the things that was very interesting to me, was the fact that so many people who voted for Brexit, who voted to leave the European Union, voted thinking that their vote didn't count. Right? They thought that their vote did not count. They went to the polls, they voted to leave, and then the next day the leave shit won and they were like, what the fuck? Right? It was crazy to witness that happen. And so I want to play you guys. I want to play something for you guys. I want to show you guys like some of the attitudes that was happening with a lot of the Brexit voters, the people who voted to leave that country or to leave the European Union. I want to show you guys something. So let me go over here. Let me get it. Let's get this set up here because I want you guys to see. And so I'm going to play this real quick.
This morning when I woke up, I actually did suddenly think, oh God, like I actually wish we'd stayed in. But
I did vote leave,
but I was undecided. And I think, do you know what? I actually think a lot of people were shocked. Even though everyone went and voted, I still think everyone did think, oh, we'll probably well end up staying in.
I'm a bit shocked, to be honest. I'm shocked about both. I'm shocked that we actually have voted to leave. I didn't think that was going to happen. My vote, I didn't think it was going to matter too much because I thought we were just going to remain. And the David Cameron resignation has blown me away, to be honest. I think it's been the period of uncertainty that we're going to have for the next couple of months. I think that's just been magnified now. Quite worried.
You're not worried we're going to get a Prime Minister now that we haven't voted for?
Yeah, that does worry me a little bit, actually, doesn't it? Yeah, it does worry me.
I know you voted out.
Yes.
If there was one thing you could do now, what would it be and why?
I would go back to the polling station and vote to stay, simply because this morning the reality is actually hitting in and the regrets are filling in of actually that we have actually left EU. Very disappointed. The whole family this morning, even though majority of us voted to leave, we are actually regretting it today.
Did you think you might get a chance to vote again?
Yeah, actually, I said to my sisters before they flew out, I wish we had the opportunity to vote again, simply because I would do so many things differently for the vote. It was me, my two sisters, and my parents.
And all of you would now vote differently, having seen what's happened this morning?
Yeah. David Cameron leaving, while resigning. That was the biggest shock. We didn't really expect that to happen. Worried about, you know, my future job.
Believe what's happening.
I thought he'd stay and help us all to work out what we need to do and make sure that we're all right.
All right. Let me go ahead and exit that. And all right, so we're back to where we're supposed to be, right? But yeah, man, like it's amazing to witness all of these people who voted to leave now all of a sudden saying that they wish they hadn't left, right? Like, oh my God, what did we do? What did we do? And it reminded me, oh my God, it reminded me of this old joke that Eddie Murphy used to do back in the day. Hold on a second. I want to set this up. But hold on. Let me set this up.
Jesse going,
yeah. Uh-oh. But he was talking about Jesse Jackson running for president back in like 84 or something like that. And he talked about white folks voting for shit as a goof, right? And it just made me think of this. So let me show you guys this real quick. And we can, yeah.
Fuck that shit. I seen Jesse in the gym working the fuck out too, boy, getting in shape. You know, if he win, because you know he got a chance, he can win. White dudes like to do shit like that, vote for the wrong dude as a goof. They get drunk and shit and go in there and say, let's vote for Jesse Jackson. I just voted for Jesse Jackson. The next day he'd be like this, he fucking won? Jesse know that shit can happen. He getting in shape. I seen him running around.
All right, so yeah, man, this idea that you can go in, you can vote for somebody, or you can vote for a particular thing, and it not necessarily have any consequences is unconscionable to me, right? Like these people went to the polls and they voted to leave, and then they were like, "Oh, this shit passed, like it fucking went through. Like, can we go back in? Can we do it again?" And they're saying that they would actually leave. Or they would vote differently if they knew that their votes counted. And so it's one of those things where here in America, when you hear so many people talking about the fact that they don't believe that their votes count, right? Or people being very cavalier about the idea of, you know, like say, for instance, Bernie Sanders supporters who would say that they would either vote for Trump or they won't vote at all because they have such disdain for Hillary Clinton. And they're totally fine with that until a candidate like a Donald Trump actually wins. And then they're like, oh, fuck. Right? You're being given a pretext right now as to the disastrousness or the disaster that could be if you decide that you're going to either A, abstain from voting because of your disgust with the process, or B, vote for some shit because you just want to see the shit burn, right? You just want to see it burn. And so you're going to vote in a way which isn't necessarily to your benefit, or better yet, the benefit of most of your neighbors, right? Because you want to see this shit burn. It didn't go the way that you wanted it to go, and this is the end result. And Britain voters are finding themselves fighting with this or dealing with this issue, right? So, yeah, man, and not only that, it's so many different reports of racial animosity happening over in Britain now because of the fact that this Brexit shit passed. Excuse me. You know, like, you got people talking about, you know, like Pakistanis who've been, you know, in Britain, who've been working in Britain, or people from other countries like the French like the Belgians or wherever, like people from wherever they were from, and they're in England and they're working, and folks just really being real dicks to them, telling them, go back to your country, we won, fuck out of here, and all this other stuff, right? It's crazy. It's crazy, because they would much rather be purist in the sense of only people from Britain should be living and working here, so much so that they don't give a fuck about their economy crashing, they don't give a fuck about their defense being compromised, they don't give a fuck about their currency being weakened, none of that. So long as you get rid of these people who don't look like me, I'm good. And it's scary, man. It's scary because that kind of shit can happen here. It can very well happen here. So with this whole thing with Brexit, man, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And it didn't win by like a vast majority. It was like, I think it was a 52% to 48%, like a 4% difference in the leave of the European Union to the people who voted to stay. But then you look at how many people are talking about they wish they could vote over again, and most of them wish they probably hadn't voted for the to leave the European Union. So, you know, the compromises that are being made, the mentality that is going into some of these voting booths, man, is scary. It's scary that, like, these are the people who go and vote for shit. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to vote, but I don't think it counts for anything. Yeah, that's a really fucked up way to go into a voting booth, and then you find out that, yeah, your vote does fucking count. That's a really fucked up way to find out. And so I would hope that here in America that we don't exactly, exercise that sort of dumb line of thinking, right? Real talk. But, yeah, you know what? I gotta, take a break. I gotta take a break. So while I'm gone, I'm gonna have a little musical selection for you guys. But when we get back, I'm gonna talk about, the Jesse Williams speech and some of the reaction that he's gotten from that speech, from not only Black America, but from White America, from Hoteps, from everybody, right? I'm gonna have that going on when I get back. But check out these sounds while I'm gone.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy. Such a dummy to let some mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so back. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming, but I blew it. Really blew it and lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. Dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening, thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was fronting, truly fronting. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw it coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love.
All right, and I'm back. I left y'all with some Anthony Hamilton, huh? I wonder how many of y'all like went and got like a plate of greens and some cornbread and some fried chicken with Anthony Hamilton going on, man. Real talk. I feel like that every time I hear that dude sing, man. I be feeling like, hey, man, I'm hungry. Real talk. But yeah, man. Speaking of Anthony Hamilton, he did perform during the BET Awards and whatnot. And so yeah, that happened. That happened, right? But one of the things that did happen during these BET Awards was the fact that Jesse Williams was he won the Humanitarian Award over at the BET Awards this year, right? And like, let's be honest, man, that speech has like kind of set the world on fire, especially on social media, especially like on Black Twitter, Facebook. Everybody has been talking about the Jesse Williams speech, right? And so you know, one of the things about the speech was, you know, he spoke a lot of truths, a lot of hard truths. He spoke to a lot of the people in the room when he talked about, you know, the fact that you had, you know, you've reached a point to where you're making money, but that doesn't absolve you from, you know, putting your putting an effort forth towards the struggle of Black people and Black liberation in America. He talked about Black men and their role in treating our women better, which was, you know, he said, we can and will do better for you. And, you know, like, I was listening to the Black Guy Who Tips. I was listening to Rod, and he was talking about how he was a little skeptical of that. And I can echo those sentiments, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But he talked about a lot of things, man. One of the things that was interesting to me was, like, how people kind of cherry-picked a lot of what he said to kind of fit into their, They cherry picked some of the things out of his speech to fit into their sensibilities, right? So you saw a lot of people who were talking about, like, you know, you saw the Hotep niggas who was like, you know, he talked about, you know, we pray with brands on our bodies, and now we pray with brands on our bodies and stuff. And then somebody uses the Hotep meme with like the slave or the Black person with, you know, Louis Vuitton and Nike and all this stuff tattooed and branded onto their body and stuff like that, right? But then they miss the rest of that, you know, the rest of the, you know, the entire speech. Like, they took that one little spot, they took that little one little part, and then they latched onto that and like, see, even Jesse Williams is saying this, right? So that happens. And then you start seeing, like, there's competition, right? You start seeing competition among Black folks about who's getting credit for saying what and whether or not we should be paying attention to certain people. So I started seeing memes from a lot of Hotep niggas talking about, well, you know, Umar Johnson was saying some of the same shit, and David Banner been saying some of the same shit that Jesse Williams been saying, but y'all ain't paying attention, though. Like, get the fuck out of here, right? Because at the end of the day, man, when it comes to people like Umar Johnson, who I've been a very vocal critic of, when it comes to David Banner, who's also kind of Hotepy, you know, one of the biggest things that I've always said, man, was that, you know, there's a lot of Black men who would love to replace white men in the place of, in the place of the hierarchy. They don't give a fuck necessarily about the upliftment of the people in general. But if they could have some of the same privilege that white men had, then they would be perfectly content in that. And so even when I talked about, say, for instance, when we were talking about Brock Turner and the fact that he was only given 6 months in jail for the sexual assault of a young woman, and we talk about Bill Cosby, a lot of people talk about Bill Cosby like, hey, Bill Cosby should get away with this shit the same way that this white boy gets away with this shit. Never mind the fact of what Bill Cosby is accused of doing. So we'll look at it as if, hey, yeah, we could do this fucked up shit, and we should be able to get away with this fucked up shit in the same way that these white folks get away with this fucked up shit. But we want these white folks to be held accountable at the same time, right? Like, we want white folks to be held accountable. But since these white folks are getting away with it, maybe we should get away with it too because we black folks, and that will make it even. And that's some bullshit that I cannot co-sign by any stretch of the imagination, right? So, you know, one of the things that, you know, again, we can go back into talking about what Jesse Williams kind of said when he talked about, you know, when it came to black men, and, or better yet, he didn't necessarily say black men, but he talked about how black women have put everyone before them. And they have been undergirded this movement, this black liberation movement, this Black Lives Matter movement. They've been undergirding this, and they've been attacked not only from the mainstream media, but from their own people. Like, you got a lot of dudes. You got a lot of people who got shit to say about how Black Lives Matter is being run. You got a lot of people who go out of their way to be that contrary nigga, to be like, yo, Black Lives Matter don't speak for me. Right? They have a resentment of the fact that it was started by three queer black women. They have a resentment for that. They have a resentment that they don't necessarily want to acknowledge, right? And so one of the things that happened when Jesse Williams said that we can and we will do better for you, and this is something that I said, Rod said on the Black Eye Who Tips, and this is something that I'm going to echo. I don't know how. I don't know how we do it when there's so many brothers who just go out of their way to miss the point of what it was he was saying, right? Because when I hear that we can and we will do better for you, when we talking about black men and how we interact with black women and how we promote blackness amongst each other, I don't hear that there's a competition amongst us, right? I can recognize that, yo, when it comes to this black liberation movement, our sisters have been getting the shit end of the stick. I can recognize that. A lot of brothers should be able to recognize that, right? When we talk about street harassment, and then you got ashy motherfuckers like Tariq Nasheed talking about some, well, yeah, that's just a plot to get black men more locked up. Nigga, you can't get locked up if you ain't fucking harassing nobody, right? But you get a lot of dudes who will co-sign that kind of fuckery, right? And then you'll have this idea of, well, you know, black men wouldn't have to deal with all this shit if only y'all sisters would support us. And you're like, okay, so when you think about what happened to Mike Brown, when you think about what happened to Trayvon Martin, when you think about what happened to Eric Garner, when you think about what happened to Jordan Davis, all of these black dudes who have been killed, murdered, unarmed in the streets by law enforcement and otherwise, black women have been spearheading these movements to speak on these issues, to bring attention to these issues. And niggas is talking about they in the streets whining. They talking about they're bringing attention to the shit that's fucking with you. And you're talking about them whining, and maybe they should take a step back. It's a lot of ashiness, man. Like, a lot of resentment with a lot of black dudes when it comes to black women. And it's apparent. It's very much apparent. The fact that he would say that black men can and will do better for you, and that was an issue for some niggas, makes it apparent. Right? Now, I want y'all to understand something, man. Like, when it comes to, like, this black liberation movement, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything else, man, like I've said, I've been a supporter of that movement pretty much from the beginning, man. Like, I'm like, yo, they're bringing attention to the things that are affecting us the most effective way. Like, right, the reason why a lot of folks are even talking about this shit right now is because these women and a lot of women have gone to the streets and yelled out these names and went on the social media. I know a lot of people are real critical of social media. I used to be one of those dudes who was real critical of social media until I recognized the power in it, right? A lot of dudes real critical of social media, like these social media activists, these social media warriors, these shea butter Twitter and all this other bullshit that these niggas come up with in order to denigrate people who are fighting on the behalf of these ashy motherfuckers. Like, when Jesse Williams says we can and will do better for you, I think Jesse Williams doesn't necessarily understand the depths in which a lot of these niggas resent black women, resent them to the point where they would even go to the fact that, like, well, you know, it got to a point, man, where we start making arguments about whether or not black women are irresponsible with their reproductive rights, whether or not black women are raising these single, you know, because so many black kids are raised in single parent homes, and, you know, it's the fault of the black women for choosing the man that she's laying with and all these other things. And one of the things I will say to any nigga who's saying that kind of shit is this: at some point in your life as a black man, you have to make a motherfucking decision. Your decision has to be whether or not you're going to be a productive dude in this society, whether or not you're going to step up and take care of the children that you create in this society, whether or not you're going to be a provider and a leader in this society, or you're going to be a fuck nigga the rest of your life. You're not going to take responsibility for none of the shit that you do. You're going to always go back into, well, my mama didn't know who my daddy was. Well, we was on welfare when I was growing up. Well, we didn't know what we was going to eat from one day to the next. You got a decision to make as an adult man. And I'm saying man in quotes because a lot of you motherfuckers don't qualify. But you got a goddamn decision to make when you get old enough, stand on your own fucking 2 feet, to make a decision as to whether or not what kind of man you want to be. And if the man you want to be is a nigga that sits off to the side and talks shit about sisters while they out here advocating for you, then you probably need to shut the fuck up and sit your ass down and be the boy that you are. Be the boy that you are. Because you don't represent men. You don't represent what manhood is supposed to be. To me. Now that may just be an unpopular black opinion. But it's a lot of niggas who sit off to the side and talk shit about how these sisters are conducting themselves and how these sisters are the blame for the state in black America and how black America is, because 70% of black kids are born in the single parent homes as if they made these fucking babies by themselves. You dumb niggas. No. They didn't do it by themselves. Excuse me. There was a lot of niggas that laid down with a woman, sold a woman a dream, and then bounced the fuck out. And now he leaves with him, he leaves behind a woman with a child, and this child now has to navigate this world not knowing how to really navigate it without his father's guidance. Talk about the child support system and all these other things all you want, but sometimes, like I said, man, it comes to a point where as a man you have to make a decision as to what kind of man you want to be. And far too many times we got way too many brothers who are choosing to be dickheads, and then they'll get mad at you as a man for not also wanting to be a dickhead. They'll get mad at you for calling them out on being a dickhead. And then you know what else? They'll question your manhood for questioning them for being a dickhead. They'll call you a Captain Save-A-Hole for stepping in, because I've had that happen to me also over the course of the last couple of weeks. Like, you have dudes who will come at a sister sideways, and then a brother will come and step to them and talk to them as a man, and then he'll say, oh man, you just come in to save these hoes. Why should I have to come and save any of our sisters from you? Why should I have to do that? Why does it mean that I'm a Captain Save Them, even when she's not being a hoe, from you? So when Jesse Williams says that we can and will do better for you, I'm skeptical because it's so many dudes who enjoy being dickheads, who think being dickheads is the way to be. They think that being a dickhead is what manhood is, and it's so not. It's so not. And so it's disappointing when Jesse Williams can get up on BET and is, better yet, it wasn't just broadcast on BET. It was broadcast on all of Viacom's networks. So that was VH1 and Nickelodeon and all these. Like, white folks was mad because they're like, wait, why I gotta look? Why are my children watching this shit? Whole lot of people pissed off because they got to watch this truth being spoken to them on primetime television. Whole lot of people pissed off. Niggas, white folks, ashy niggas. So yeah, like, I really thoroughly enjoy Jesse Williams' speech. I really think that what happened in his speech, though, like the way in which it was received, depending on who you are, of course it's different depending on who you are, but yeah, man, Jesse Williams, if he spoke some truths, some very hard truths, and it was so disappointing though to watch so many black people stumble over themselves to be the contradictory niggas to what it was that he was saying. Very disappointing to see that, right? But yeah, that's enough about that. We're coming up on our it's time for Asshats of the Week. Let me try this again.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right, and today our Asshat of the Week is none other than past Asshat of the Week, Tommy Lauren. Yeah, now you guys may remember Tommy Lauren from the Super Bowl, when she was talking about Beyonce and Beyonce promoting the Black Panthers and the Black Panthers being a terrorist organization and not really being really versed on her history and all these other shit, right? So Tommy Lauren decided that the Jesse Williams speech was a little bit much, and she didn't understand why Jesse Williams went on BET to spew his recklessness against white folks. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch Tommy Lauren go into her little spiel and be upset when she really, really, really didn't have to be upset. And we're going to watch her talk this shit, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. So here we go. Uh-oh.
Welcome back for Final Thoughts. Well, the BET Awards were last night. Notably, they were very... very black. Oh, but can I say that? What with my whiteness and all? Well, too damn bad. Question, was this a celebration of black entertainment or an opportunity to complain about the plight of wealthy black actors and musicians? Curious, because I saw a lot of talent on that stage, but at the same time, a whole lot of victimhood. Oh, and police bashing, that too. Meet Grey's Anatomy actor Jesse Williams. He won the Humanitarian Award last night, which means the BET definition of humanitarian is someone who perpetuates a war on cops.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday. So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television, and then going home to make a sandwich.
Killing someone in broad daylight and then going home to make a sandwich? Are you kidding me, Jess?
No, Tommy. That's what the fuck happened. That's what the fuck happened. He's not kidding you. That's what happened. We all saw it. But let's go on and watch you and your fake outrage continue.
See? Know what else is interesting, bud? Though the term unarmed black man may be literally accurate, it doesn't tell the whole story in most cases. In a number of cases, if the victim ended up being unarmed, it was certainly not for lack of trying.
Okay, so Tommy, how many of those cases did he actually note in his speech? While you're trying, see, here's the thing. Tommy Lauren right now is trying to deflect from what exactly it was that Jesse Williams was saying. He didn't argue any of these points that she's going to try to bring up in this speech or in her little response or whatever. He didn't actually argue any of these points, but she's so dying to be mad. She's so dying to be mad that she's going to argue points that Jesse Williams doesn't even make to legitimize the fucked up shit that's been happening to black folks.
Grabbing an officer's gun or using other equipment to beat the police doesn't give you a free pass. Oh, but heaven forbid someone be critical of this movement.
If you have a critique for the resistance, for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down.
Equal rights. Please tell me, Mr. Williams, what rights black people don't have. Also, white people, yeah, we do have a record of critique of your oppression. In fact, do you know how many of our ancestors fought in the Civil War to free your ancestors?
Do you know how many of your ancestors actually held slaves so that we didn't, there wouldn't have even been a need for the fucking Civil War if your ancestors weren't enslaving our ancestors, you dimwit? You fucking dumbass? Like, here's the thing, like, dying to be mad about some shit that you don't even have to be mad about, right? So when he talks about you not having a record of talking about our oppression, but having something to say about how we address it, where were you? Where were you when things were happening to black folks that were illegal, that were unethical, that were inhumane? Where was your voice? Where was your voice, Tommy? When things like that happen, only when we speak up and say these things will not be tolerated, do you have something to say. You're making the fucking point for him in this response and in my response. Thank you, you asshat.
Bloodiest war in the United States history was over what was right, and it was largely white people fighting it. In fact, it was white Southern Democrats who fought for, not against, slavery.
So why is it that we now have Republicans who are upholding, like, Confederacy and the ability to fly the flag and are fighting for that? And why is it that we have Republicans who are coming up with these voter rights legislation laws and trying to prevent folks from going to certain bathrooms and trying to talk about states' rights and how they have the ability to not necessarily service people who they don't like? A lot of those motherfucking Democrats that you speak of, Tommy, actually migrated their ass to the Republican Party. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people whom you probably vote for are probably Republicans right now. But okay.
Oh, but speaking of privilege, let's listen to this high-paid television actor tell us just how bad he has it.
We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit.
I'm sorry, Jesse, but I won't be apologizing for my whiteness, just as you don't need to apologize for your blackness.
He didn't ask you to apologize for your whiteness, dumbass. Like, he just didn't, but okay.
It's not white people working to divide America, it's you! You and Beyonce and Jada Pinkett Smith and Al Sharpton. Do you see yourself as a victim? If so, I feel sorry for you. For someone who wants equal rights, it sure sounds like you prefer special treatment. It sure sounds like you'd like a gold star at the end of the day just for being born. Get over yourself. You're not a humanitarian. You're not a unifier. You're not teaching black children to go forth and conquer. You're teaching them to feel sorry for themselves. Nice work, and how about you sit down? Those are my...
Okay, so Tommy Lahren is going to tell a black person how to be black person in America. The gall on this bitch. I'm sorry. Like, I... I hate even using that term, but goddamn. Like, really. The gall that you have to get on your fucking platform. The privilege that you have to get on your black your platform to tell a black man how to be black and how to function in America as a black person when you have absolutely no fucking clue what it means to be a black person in America. So yeah, for this little diatribe that Tommy Lahren took her ass on, man, I am going to nominate Tommy Lahren as the ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And we do have a champ of the week this week. Hold on, let me find our champ music. God damn it, there it is.
The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
All right, now the champ of the week this week here at the Spare Poor Podcast is none other than friend of the Spare Poor Podcast and former classmate of the Spare Poor, man. My man Wendell Tucker. Now, a lot of you may not necessarily be familiar with my homie Wendell, man. He's an actor. He's a playwright. He's written plays such as Wendell Tucker Hates the World and I Still Love Her, which has toured all over the country. Not only he speaks about mental illness, but also his love of hip hop, man, and a lot of his work, man. So I've been a big fan of Wendell for a long time, and I've had him here on the show, as a matter of fact. And so one of the reasons that Wendell Tucker is the champ of the week this week is Wendell Tucker had an interaction with conservative talking head Larry Elder on Twitter this week, right? And so Larry Elder, after the Jesse Williams speech, went on his little thing. Larry Elder went out of his way to basically speak up on what we shall call. He went out of his way to make white folks feel comfortable. Let's just say that. Larry Elder went out of his way to make white folks feel comfortable about their lot after Jesse Williams went on the BET Awards and had his speech. Now, I'm trying to find this interaction between Wendell and Jesse Williams. I'm sorry, not Jesse Williams, but Larry Elder on Facebook, because he posted it there and he's got a lot of shit on his Facebook. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. I had to find it, man, because he's got a lot of shit on his Facebook. But I want to read to you guys the interaction between Larry Elder and my boy Wendell, and why Wendell is the Span Report champ of the week this week. So check it out. Hold on, let me make this right. I gotta get some music over here. Okay, yeah. All right. Now, Larry Elder is on Twitter, and he says a government study at Jesse Williams: blacks more likely to commit traffic offenses, speeding, no license, and expired tags. To which my boy Wendell replied to Larry Elder, "So, what part of racist white America's ass do you enjoy the taste of more?" And Larry Elder responded to him and he said, "Is that what passes for argumentation where you're from? No wonder you're unhappy. Learn to think critically, you'll live better." Wendell went at him and said, "Oh my nigga, I got time today." So, Wendell kind of gave him a little bit of the business, and he goes and say, I take it back. Larry Elder responded and said, "More name calling, not one fact, no data. When do you expect to graduate from the third grade, or are they still holding you back?" And this is when Wendell went in, because Wendell says, like, not sure what's weaker, your social perspectives or your insults, but I'm going to go out on the limb and say your backbone. Let's talk critical thinking, shall we? You lobbed that link up there like it was proof of an issue when it was a symptom. Critical thinking allows you to discern that. For instance, if a person has arthritis and their knee always hurts, is it more accurate to say that their issue is the knee or the arthritis? You're bad at that, so you'll answer the issue is the root cause. But you're like the tool of the medical industry. You're like a tool of the medical industry who would like to keep people sick to sell them more medicine than to fight the root cause. Because you love the sickness being racism, because you have never shown yourself intelligent enough to get context. So what you do, So what do you do? You throw up all kind of out of context factoids that are out of the norm to protect the real issue. So if you want to base this off of studies, here you go. Black people are more likely than white people to be searched by a traffic stop, but much less likely to turn up with guns or drugs. And that was posted by the Washington Post. White man gave you a pat on the head and you happily settled into that position of my pet nigga. You gonna protect Master's house. Now, Larry Elder, a white man gave you a pat on the head. You said, oh, I read that already. You saw a black man speaking true empowerment to his people, and before you, overseer, could say, get your barking. And historically, that has been your behavioral pattern. So when you demand that people debate you like a scholar, I laugh. Because in the face of overwhelming information, you still protect the institution that would see you as nothing but a slave. You've got some fucking nerve. You got an outlet to reach people, and you say the shit you say and call it critical thinking? Nah, fam. You're a puppet. And you happily accept that role, so I don't see why you even get mad when people call you out on it. Yo, I'm proud of that dude, man. I went to school with that dude. I graduated high school with that dude. And I'm so proud of that dude for what he said. And the way, and who he said it to, because it was so sorely needed. And because of that, man, the homie Wendell Tucker of Theory Studio, of Theory Studios, man. He is the Spearing Report podcast champ of the week. All right, man. That was what's up. That was what was up, man. Real talk, man. Shout out to the homie Wendell Tucker, man. I gotta get him back on the show soon, man. And so we can talk it up here on the Spearing Report, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, it's coming to a point where we gotta do some listener feedback. It's listener feedback time here on the Spearing Report. And let's see, we got some emails to respond to, and we got some poll results that we need to respond, that we actually need to read as well. So let me go back. Let's get to our poll results first. We can do the poll results first. And I probably shouldn't have been drinking all this beer. Probably shouldn't, but let's see what we got here. Because and my computer is running a bit slow. I'm doing a lot of stuff on this computer. I'm broadcasting, I'm recording, and reading. A lot of stuff going on. So it's taking a little bit of time for this to do its thing. Ah, boy, come on, come on, come on. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here is what we are going to do. Your man Spam got to make another run, right? So while I'm making that run, I am going to hook you guys up with some more smooth stylings, right? I'm going to hook y'all up with some more smooth stylings while I do my thing. So while I'm on my little break, let me leave y'all with this here. I wanna be the one.
you give me one more chance for romance? I'll show
more love than you've ever known.
Straighten it out and make love the way it should be. Oh yeah,
one thing sure.
All right, and I'm back, and my bladder is no longer full. Yeah, man. So, yeah, let me find the poll results from last week's show. Let me get intro to, you know, kind of be quiet a little bit. Let me find the poll results from the last show. And the last show was episode number 116. Let's see what those results were. Okay. So, as far as, like, the listener feedback, and we had the poll results from the last poll from episode 116, and we talked about whether or not the AR-15 should be banned for civilian use, right? And the poll results are in, and 50% of the Spare Report listeners believe that that the AR-15 should not be available for civilian use, right? It's pretty high, but I also understand, right? It's pretty high for Spare Report, you know, listeners, but I understand the sentiment, you know, because of what happened in Orlando and because of the overall attitude of what's going on with guns and gun control in America, it that was to be expected. So 50% of you guys believe that the AR-15 should be banned for civilian use. 16% of you guys say no. 16% of you guys is flat out like, nah, man, we don't know. We don't believe that it should be banned for civilian use. And 33% of people who listen to me or listen to the Spare Report are conflicted. They don't really know whether or not it should be banned. They don't know whether or not it should be available. They're conflicted. So thank you for all of you guys who voted in the Spare Report poll from last week. Very much appreciated, right? So again, like I said, you guys can go to thesparereport.com and you can vote in the polls on every episode. You can also leave comments on those polls and everything else. Wait, there's a comment here. As I'm talking about this, there's a comment. Angela Davis says, happy belated birthday, Mrs. Spain. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. I thought it might have had something to do with the guns, but thank you for the birthday wishes, man. I really appreciate that, sister. Real talk. But yeah, man, you guys can go to the polls. You can actually leave comments on the polls as well. And you can leave comments on the actual episodes on thesparereport.com. And so thank you guys for those of you who went and voted on the poll. Now, this week we don't necessarily have a poll, but you know what? I think I'm going to make up a poll, right? So on this week, I'm going to ask you guys whether or not y'all think I was tripping on whether or not Designer is this generation's D'Angelo, right? I'm going to just have it flat out. Yes or no? Is Designer this generation's D'Angelo? And I'm going to have that as a poll this week. So you guys can go to thesparereport.com after this episode and you guys can vote on that. Let me know if I'm tripping or if there's truly an unpopular black opinion when it comes to Designer and D'Angelo, right? Yeah, man. But we've also got an email. So let me pull up my email real quick and see what's in here. And we got an email from the homie Reggie. Hadn't heard from him in a couple of weeks, but Reggie writes in to say, yo, Span, great show, man. I was listening to episode 116, and you definitely came through with the real. I was watching how the news were going overboard to call that guy a terrorist, and it just never seemed to click that terrorism was a motive in that shooting. Yeah, you know, to me, like I said, man, it was like they were trying to get away from what was obvious. You know, like everybody kept making the point to drum us over the head with the fact that this guy claimed that he was a member of ISIS or that he was fighting on behalf of ISIS under 911 call. And yet the 911 call was never released to the public. And if they did release it, they didn't release that part of it. So I'm just like, yo, man, something done. It just doesn't seem right about that. So I never really bought into the whole thing about whether or not it was ISIS. I always thought it was just, yo, man, he had a problem with gay people. His father has been talking about this for quite some time. He had a problem with gay people. And then you come out and you find out that he'd been a regular at this bar. Like, he had a problem with gay people. Even if he was gay himself, he had a problem with it. And so saying that because he was found out to be gay that he couldn't possibly have a problem with gay people is bullshit. Because we know black people who have problem with black people all the time. Stacey Dash, Clarence Thomas, prime examples, right? Not to the point of killing anybody, but to the point that they would throw black people under the bus at any chance they get in front of white folks, right? So yeah, man, that happens. He also writes in to say that And it just never seemed to click to me that terrorism was the motive for that shooting. You said it right, too, that it was a mixing pot of all these messed up issues tied into one event. Homophobia, Islamophobia, gun fears, and gun control. Yeah, it was. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was, man, because you had all of these things converging and everybody trying to elevate their issue above all the others. When at the end of the day, what happened there was a targeted killing of homosexual people or of the LGBT community. Was a targeted attack. And we tried to make it about so much more and make it about everything else outside of what that was, right? And so he goes on further to say, I was really waiting to hear what you had to say on the issue, especially considering that you're one of the few black voices that I hear that speaks to the positives of gun ownership. And it's not out of disrespect or disregard for victims, but out of a sense of that you don't want to meet the same fate. Overall, it was a great show, and it's great to get a level-headed commentary on the podcast. And it's great to get level-headed commentary in the podcast world. Whew! Thanks for what you said, man. Well, thank you, Reggie, for writing in, man. And you know what? Like I said, man, I understand. I understand that my voice, as far as gun ownership, isn't exactly the popular one, right? I understand that folks really have, you know, whether or not they dealt with gun violence in their families, whether or not they've dealt with gun violence, you know, in their occupations or what have you. I understand that, like, you know, people have their things, right? And so for me, you know, I speak on it, and I'm very much aware that gun ownership for a lot of folks isn't necessarily a necessity, right? And so the only thing that I would ask those same people who would say that certain things shouldn't be available to me is that they don't necessarily that they apply those same principles to themselves, right? So when we talked about like the AR-15 and stuff like that, and there are people who saying like the AR-15 is capable of all these different things, and then you look up the actual function of the AR-15, the actual rounds that go into an AR-15 and how powerful they are, what they're capable of, and everything else. Like, to those who know what an AR-15 is capable of, like in comparison to, say, for instance, a 40 caliber pistol or 45 caliber pistol or 357 caliber revolver, like for those of us who know the capabilities of it, like a lot of those conversations start sounding a little bit retarded when folks aren't speaking from a position of knowing. And so, I'm not trying to belittle anybody in their knowledge or anything like that, because I'm pretty sure you could find somebody who's more of an expert than me, who will have a much more detailed opinion in mind and all these other things, right? But at the end of the day, I want people to be educated on why these guns exist, why people choose to own them, why they are used. And if you decide that you don't want to use them for your own personal usage, that's fine. But to tell someone else that what they don't need, because you have decided you don't need it for yourself, for me, that is why I speak to this issue, man. Like, real talk, I'm not telling nobody go out there and go get shit. I'm not telling anybody that having a gun is going to guarantee you nothing for safety or any of that shit. I'm not telling you none of that. But for me and mine, this is what we do. This is how we operate, and this is how we protect ours, right? And I have no qualms with anybody else who chooses to operate themselves differently and protect their homes differently than the way that me and my wife have decided for us, right? So, yeah, man, that just is what it is for me, right? That's what it is for me. But thank you again, Reggie, for writing in, brother, and I appreciate you. Hope to hear from you again soon, man, real talk. But it's time for me to get out of here, man. So before we get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spin Report. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course I'll play them here on the show and respond here on the show as well. You can also email, just like the homie Reggie just did. email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read them here on the show and respond to those emails right here on the show as well. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. That's Mr_Span on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me there. We could chop it up there. Talk throughout the week, man. That's how we do, right? Like the Mr. Span fan page, because when you like the Mr. Span fan page, you can watch this show live on Facebook, right? Like the Mr. Span fan page. We're up to like 343 likes on the fan page, right? So go ahead, man. Help me get to 500, right? Let's just get this thing rolling. Let's make this ball just like snowball and all that other good shit, right? Let's get this thing popping, right? And also, you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on TuneIn Radio, on pretty much all of your podcast platforms, man. The Span Report is pretty much available. Go there, subscribe to the show, man. Let me know what you guys are thinking. Give me a 5-star review, preferably, and leave a review on all of those platforms, all of those where the review capability is available. Leave me those reviews, man. Let me know and let other people know how you're feeling about the show, man. It helps immensely, and it helps spread the word about the show. It's one of the ways that you can put on with the Span Report, man. Let your voice be heard. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Every episode of the Span Report is available there. All the videos that I used as far as the show is concerned is available there. You can vote in the polls there. You can donate to the show at thespanreport.com. And everything Span Report related is at www.thespanreport.com. But, yeah, man, it's time for me to roll. It's time for me to roll, man. It's 4th of July weekend, so I'm going to try to enjoy this weekend as much as I possibly can. I got a 4-day weekend this weekend. Ooh, shit. Sorry. I got a 4-day weekend this weekend, man, so I'm going to try to enjoy as much of this off time from work as I possibly can. But, yeah, man, I love you guys, and until next time, I'll talk to you guys again, man. Peace.